Okay, we're about to begin the second shiur in our series of sugyas that relate between parents and children, obligations that go in one direction or both directions. But the truth is that we can almost make believe this is the Chumash shiur, because this really does relate to Parshas Vayera. Actually, the Torah describes the mitzvah of a father being Malus child in this week's Parsha, so it doubles a little bit. So last week we spoke about the more general question about a father's obligation in the bris of his son. And we spoke about whether that's an obligation that can be done through a shaliach, whether it has to be done directly by the father. Obviously, 99.9% of the time it's going to be done by a mohel, because most fathers today don't know how to do brisim. But whether or not the father is really yoytze his chiyuv through a shaliach, that was subject to last week's shiur. But now we move on to the second half, the next part of our topic, and that's, practically speaking, lemaisa, how do the brachas that take place at a bris milah play out, especially in light of this obligation that a father has towards his son? So we take a look at the first of the marmakomos. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos tells us, Tana Rabbanan, Hamal Omer Shekidishar Mitzvot Sivitzvot Alamila. The person who does the actual bris recites the first bracha, Shekidishar Mitzvot Sivitzvot Alamila. And then afterwards, Avi Abein Omer Shekidishar Mitzvot Sivitzvot Lachnis Vishlam Avinu. And of course, we know the next bracha is recited by the father. Thank you, Kodesh Baruch, for giving us the opportunity to bring our child into the bris. And there's really a very, very serious problem. There's a very, very basic problem that exists in understanding this sugya. Because since when do we find two brachas on one mitzvah? A person sits in the sukkah, you make a bracha leishiv sukkah. A person blows the shofar, you make the shmokol shofar. Every once in a while you get a mitzvah that requires a shechiyanu also. But there's no such thing as two brachas and mitzvahs on one mitzvah. Which of course poses a problem here, because here, Asher Kiddishanu Mitzvayis Yitzvon Alamila, Asher Kiddishanu Mitzvayis Yitzvon Lachmis Vishlam Avinu, it's the same thing. How you machnis your child into the bris? By doing the bris milah. So why the necessity for two brachas? So the Rambam, when he formulates this halacha, answers this obvious question. The Rambam, the second of Rambam Kaimus, quotes the Gemara, Rambam Ruchas Bila Parag Gimel Aleph, Hamal Mavar Karim Shiyobah Asher Kiddishanu Mitzvayis Yitzvon Alamila, Imal Ben Chaveiro. Rambam happens to comment, based on his understanding of Gemara Maseches Pesachim, that even the first bracha radically changes whether you're doing the bris on your son or on somebody else's son. If you're doing it on somebody else's son, like most of the brisim that we go to, then the bracha is al hamila. Whereas if you're doing it on your own son, then the bracha is lamul esabein. Why the nuance of difference? So this is based on a little bit of a diktuk sugya, a sugya that appears in the first bracha of Pesachim. But the Gemara tells us that the Lashon of Le, the Lamed, has the connotation of something that I personally have to do. The Lashon of Al is a little bit more general. The Lashon of Al speaks about a mitzvah in general terms. I'm doing a mitzvah. I could do it. You could do it. He could do it. The other person could do it. So when the Moel is doing a bris on somebody else's child, it's inappropriate to say Lomul, because he doesn't have to be the Moel. Somebody else could be the Moel. But if you're doing the bris on your own child, then it makes sense to say lomul esabein. So this is the Rambam's unique shita. This is not amnidic. Our custom is not this way. Our custom is we always recite the bracha alamila.
Why would you say lomul
esabein? Lomul esabein. Interesting. I guess a little bit less personal, you know? I don't know. I'm not sure. So, but then the Rambam continues. The Rambam says that v'avi abein mevarach bracha acheres. Now there's a second bracha that is always recited by the father, and that is Baruch Hashem Elokim Echad Shekishar Mitzvos Lachnis Vishlam Avinu. Mitzvah la'av, lobel es b'no, yeser al mitzvah shemitzuvin yisoh shemul kol or shebenet. The Rambam says there is a greater mitzvah to do a bris on your son than to do a bris on somebody else's son. So in that one phrase, the Rambam already answered the question. The Rambam is posing the challenge, why are we making two brachas on one mitzvah? The answer is because there are really two different things that are occurring here. The first bracha al hamila is the general statement of bris milah that applies to all of Klal Yisrael. So if I'm asked to be a moel on Pliny's son, I'm doing a general mitzvah, and therefore I get a general nusach al hamila. The second bracha is on the added mitzvah. There's a unique mitzvah, hamutalas al ha'av, and that mitzvah is addressed with a unique birchas ha-mitzvah. Therefore the Rambam says, lefikach, im ein sham av. What have the fathers done here? The father's not alive, the father's not well, the father's on a trip. Or sometimes you have a situation where the child's not even Jewish. As I've said, the father's not even Jewish. So the father is not here. Either he's not here physically or not here halachically. Who recites the bracha in his place? Says the Rambam, Ein mevarchem acharei bracha zu. The bracha is not recited. There is no bracha of lachniso if the father is not available and able to recite that bracha. So clearly, this is the Rambam Lashitasa. The Rambam just got finished telling us that the bracha is recited al shame, the additional mitzvah of al-av. If there's no av, so the male is not going to be a bracha. But then the Rambam makes reference to another custom, which happens to be our custom. V'yesh mishahayra. There are those who say, she'yivarchin osab beizdin, o'echem min ha'am. There are those who say, let somebody else make the bracha. Let the beizdin make the bracha, let the rabbi make the bracha, let the caterer make the bracha. So someone should make the bracha. Echem min ha'am. Says the Rambam, v'ein roi lasis kein. It's not right to do this. Again, the Rambam, l'shitaso, it's not right to do it. It's worse than not right. It's a bracha matala. Because according to the Rambam, kol zman, it's not the father. There's nothing to talk about the bracha lachnisa. Who is the yesh mishahayra? A group of Rishonim, including the Ravid. The Ravid on the spot writes at the end of this, to the next line, Sagas Ravid, Kosova Ravid Zal, Mistavra Kamandiyam Abezdin, O Meyuchat Sheba Amavarech. Says the Ravid, no, the Yesh Mishahora, the opinion that the Rambam rejected, is the correct one. Somebody should say it. Who is the somebody? Whoever you want. The Nagwetzlenu Shasandakus Mavarech. The Sandak, that's the phrase that he used for Sandak, we shortened it to Sandak. A sanduk should recite the bracha. So clearly the Ravid understood that this bracha is not miyuchedes to the father. It has nothing to do with the father's chiyuv. Proof positive. Somebody else is going to recite the bracha. So what is the bracha all about? According to the Rambam, I understand why we're making a bracha lachniso, because it's highlighting the father's unique obligation. But according to the Ravid, which is our minug, that anybody there can make the bracha. Minug is the sanduk makes the bracha. Based on what? Based on what is the purpose of this bracha, according to those who disagree with the Rambam? So Tosfos in the third of the Maamar Kamos of Maseches Pesachim discusses the intricacies of when the bracha is going to be recited, and understanding on when Lachniso is going to be recited will impact as to why Lachniso and what this bracha is about in the first place. So Tosfos in the third of the Maamar Kamos is commenting on a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim in the first Berak, that's talking about what nusach habracha should you recite before you do bedikas chametz. Everybody agrees you have to recite a bracha before bedikas chametz. It's like any other mitzvah. But what is the correct nusach habracha? So the Gemara quotes a machlokes. One opinion says, is there any way to make it that doesn't ping? There's mamash no way. Couldn't figure it out. Okay, no problem. Okay, so one day in the Gemara says that the correct bracha before bedikas chametz is asher kiddushanu mitzvah mitzvano al bir chametz. That bracha should sound familiar, that's what we do. And the other day in the Gemara says, no, that's the wrong bracha. You should make a bracha, shekidishan mitzvah tzivanu, liva erchametz, with a lamed. What's the issue? So the Gemara says, it's a diktuk issue. It's a grammar issue. The Gemara says that the word li, the letter li, always has the connotation, lahabo mashma. It always speaks about something in the future. So we recite a bracha before we do the mitzvah. Therefore, one opinion says, you have to make the bracha livar. If you're going to make a bracha albiur, that's going to have the connotation that you did it already, and that's sheket, that's not true. And the other opinion, the way we paskin, says, no, even al also sounds like it's for the future. Don't worry about it. It's a diktuk machlokes. But everybody agrees that the letter lamed has the meaning for the future. That's not negotiable. So now comes Tosfos and says, b'kanoi ematzrich, the gears that we have in this Tosfos is Rashba. It's probably supposed to be the Rashbam. The Rashbam was Rabbeinu Shmuel, who in other places Tosfos quotes to be this opinion he's about to make reference to. The Rashba, there were two Rashbas. One was the Sephardi Rashba, one was the Ashkenazi Rashba. The Sephardi Rashba, Tosfos is not quoting Bechlal. The Ashkenazi Rashba, Tosfos does quote sometimes, but it's probably a mistake. It's probably supposed to be the Rashbam. So we're gonna be gutsy, we'll read it like it says the Rashbam. Mekana Yematzich Rashbam, Levorech Lefnei Hamila Lachniso. Says the Rashbam, when should you recite the bracha Lachniso B'risa Shalom Avinu? Says the Rashbam, it's a dicta question. It starts with a li, with a lamed. Therefore, it must be recited before the milah is done. So now, wait a second. We have a technical, logistical problem here. We have two brachas that have to be recited. The bracha on the milah itself for sure is recited before. That's like any other birchas mitzvah. You make a bracha before you put on tefillin, make a bracha before you eat the matzah, make a bracha before you read the Megillah. So there's no question that first bracha, al milah, is going to be recited before the bris. Now the Rashbam just got finished telling us the bracha of Lachniso is also going to be recited before the bris. So could somebody please map out for me what a bris is supposed to sound like according to the Rashbam? The male is supposed to get up and make a bracha asher kiddushanu mitzvah alamila and then do nothing. Don't cut. Wait for the father to say Lachniso. Really? that would be a tremendous hefsek between the birchas hamitzvah al hamila and the bris. That would be an unnecessary interruption. But I don't understand. Rashbam just told you that you have to make lachniso prior to the bris because diktuk dictates that. So you can't make it after al hamila because that's going to be a tremendous hefsek. So you have a very, very bizarre conclusion. There's only one way to say it before and not pose a hefsek. Namely, it has to precede al hamila. So next time you come to a bris, listen for the following. Next time you're invited to the Rashbam's grandchildren's bris, you can hear the following. That the Moses is going to get all ready. He's holding the knife, all ready to go. And the first one up, the leadoff batter, is the father. The father screams out, Asher kiddishanu mitzvah lachnitz v'shtar v'avinu. And then the male screams out Alamila, and then he does the cutting, then he does the Mila. Anyone have a bit of like a bris like that? Probably not. But that's how the Rashbam, yeah, some people do. But the Sfarim do that. Right. The Sfarim do it. Some of the Sfarim do it. I don't know. All the Sfarim do it. Many of the Sfarim do this. This is actually Shitas HaRashbam. So what prompted the Rashbam to say this? Because he got himself bamshu to pickle. He got himself into a corner. Lach Niso has to be a pre-bris. There's no way to make a hefsek, so Mamel Lachniso starts off the game. Oh, so you're bothered. What was the big deal? Well, why is there any more of hefsek than the Shachiyanu being a hefsek? Yeah, I guess. Ari, you're Ashkenazi through and through. I guess you're not bothered with this kashin. Enochinami. But now, notwithstanding what the Rashbam said, his very own brother, his younger brother, was Rabbeinu Tam, didn't agree. So what his older brother said, I was not invited to the family brisim. I can just imagine what's taking place. The Rashbam is screaming, no, father, speak first. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, Moyel, speak first. So comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, he continues in the second line, V'lo nira l'Rabbeinu Tam, says Rabbeinu Tam, it's not true. The beperek Rabbi Lezer, the mila tanya, mal omer shekshal ha-mila, av yabeinam lachniso. The Braisa gives the order. According to the Rashbam, you have to flip the whole order in the Braisa. You have to erase half the Braisa and put it out of order. So Rabbeinu Tam says, of course, everybody knows the Alhamila comes first. So what's going on? So how can it be? My older brother had a good time in Diktuk. How can I say with a straight face, Lachniso, if the bris is over already? So listen to what the Rabbeinu Tam says. The end of the third line, of the third Maimon comes. Afagad Lachniso mashmal haba, lo kosher. Delo alzos hanasa achshav mevarech. Says Rabbeinu Tam, the bracha of Lachniso is not relating to this particular bris mila that you happen to be watching. That's not the goal of Lachniso. What is the goal of Lachniso? El mishabeach umodel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shetzivanu al hamila kishetava liyadoi. In a very fancy way, what Rabbeinu Tam just said is that the bracha of Lachniso is not a birchas ha-mitzvah, rather it's a birchas ha-shevach. It doesn't relate to this mitzvah. It's not like I make a bracha before I put on tefillin, I niach tefillin, and I put on the tefillin. It's not like l'shmocho shofar, then I blow the shofar. That's not what it is. It's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the general institution of bris milah. And therefore, le is a meaningless statement. It doesn't have to be before this milah, because it's not relating to this milah. It's relating to milah in general. So we have tremendous hakaras hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bris milah. So now Rabbeinu Tam is bothered with the question, if that's the case, so then I got a great idea. It's 9:30 at night. Bris Mila is a wonderful thing. I like Bris Mila. I get make a bracha asher kiddishanu lachniz v'shalom avinu. Once you separate the bracha of lachnisa from the Mila proper, why can't you just simply recite the birchas shevach out of context? Why do you have to wait for a moyel with a baby with lox and bagels? Just make a lachnisa in the middle of nowhere. What's wrong? So Rabbeinu Tam continues and explains. Rabbeinu Tam explains it's more than just attaching. Says Rabbeinu Tam, "Umodel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shetzivanu al hamila kishetava liyado v'tiknu akan." Chazal Dafka wanted you to say those magic words, "Lachniso Dafka." Now, Dafka, as the Moel is getting ready, let's go. The Moel did it already. You should say those words. Why? Legalos ulahodia, to reveal, to indicate, to prove, shezu hamila nasa l'shem yotzreinu. We're doing this mila because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. Not for any other reasons, not for any other agendas. What other agendas could we possibly have? For lo l'shem avedizara, not because it's part of any idol ritual or something. That's not why we're doing it. For lo l'shem morna, morna means for like some medical reason, not because the guy has a wound or something, he wants to clean that area. No. For lo l'shem hagrizim, not like the kusim did it, because they believed in hagrizim, other kunsim. Basically, what Rabbi Natan is saying is that Bris Milah is something that other people practice for other reasons. And we know, even in America, we know that there are a lot of non-Jews who practice circumcision. So it's not a crazy thing to do a Bris Milah. When you see a person blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah, there are very few reasons why I'm blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said so. So I don't have to make a whole tanaram and a whole fuss and to make sure I scream from the rooftops that, by the way, just in case you don't know, I'm blowing shofar because Hashem said so. When a person's putting on tefillin, so nobody's going to be chayshed that you're putting black boxes with parshas inside your arm because you have a problem with your muscles or something. There is no other reason why you're doing what you're doing, and therefore just make a bris mitzvah and call it a day. Bris milah is tricky because half the world's doing bris milahs for a half million other reasons, so therefore we want to make it crystal clear, b'shas ma'is, that we're doing it l'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So don't we say aleinu at the end of the bris for sort of that, wouldn't that be redundant? You're saying the
breath of Lachis? Yeah, okay. That's a question where that Leno came in from. That's another question. But bottom line is, Rabbi Natan says, therefore Chazal instituted the brach of Lachniso. But one thing it's not, says Rabbi Natan, for sure not, it's not a birchas mitzvah. You know Rabbi Natan knew it's not a birchas mitzvah? Because he just said a birchas mitzvah 2 minutes earlier. That's the brach of gold, alamil. So we now have a major bachleikis, the Rambam and Rabbi Natan. What is the goal of the bracha of Lachniso? Why did Chazal institute it in the first place? According to the Rambam, it's a birchas mitzvah. Which mitzvah is it? It's the special mitzvah sa'avel abein that we spent the whole shiur last week talking about. So meal in general gets one bracha, and then the chayves sa'avel abein gets a separate distinct bracha. Therefore, the Rambam suggests that if there's no father and the mitzvah sa'avel abein will not be fulfilled, then nochinami, the corollary is, then there's not going to be this bracha. According to Rabbi Natan, that fundamental premise is not correct. According to Rabbi Natan, there's only one mitzvah taking place, it's the mitzvah smila, therefore there's only one birchas mitzvah taking place, that's alhamila. The recitation of the bracha lachniso is for a totally separate reason, it's a birchas shevach, and therefore it doesn't really bother us that the diktuk is off. The diktuk of le, the lamed, only makes sense when the bracha is relating to what you're doing. Here the le, the lamed, is not related to what I'm doing. But now Rabbi Natan turns around and asks another question to himself. The ein soch levarach over lasiyaso. He says, wait a second, isn't there a klal of overlasiyos, and don't we know that brachas always precede mitzvahs? They never follow mitzvahs. So why isn't that a problem? So I don't understand Rabbi Natan's kasha. Rabbi Natan just a minute ago told you that it's a birchas shevach. It's not a birchas mitzvah. So if it's not a birchas mitzvah, why is it bound by the rule of kol mitzvahs v'vachlev overlasiyos? So you see a tremendous chiddush Rabbi Natan. So Rabbi Natan held that rule of kol mitzvahs v'vachlev overlasiyos, that you have to make bracha first and then mitzvah, is not only applied to birchas mitzvahs. It applies to birchas shevach also. That
how?
Rule... What?
How could it? You're going to have the shevach and then make the bracha.
You mean normally most shevach, the shevach happens first. Let's say, if I know lightning is about to strike, I still have to see the lightning and then I make the bracha. I have to see the rainbow and then make the bracha. So most shevachim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the bracha follows the shevach. But Rabbi Natan said, by shevach of brachas of mitzvahs, any shevach that's related to a ma'isa mitzvah, even though it's not a birchas mitzvah, it's a birchas shevach, says Rabbi Natan, it still should be bound by the rules of kol mitzvahs v'rachim v'leisos. It's a chiddush gadol of Rabbi Natan. Not all Rishonim say this, but Rabbi Natan clearly says this way as presented in Tosfos. So now Rabbi Natan is back in a pickle. He says, wait a second. I just got finished telling you shtikl Torah that you can say lachniso after the bris because the lama, the diktuk doesn't matter. But I'm bothered with another kash, says Rabbi Natan. How could I make the bracha after the bris? It's not right. It's the violation of the klal of Mevarach Ovelasi Yosun. Says Rabbi Natan, it's not a problem. You know why? The only time you have to make a bracha Ovelasi Yosun, Ela b'makam she'osa mitzvahu Mevarach. Avakash Mevarach acher lo, says Rabbi Natan, when I'm reciting the bracha, I have to recite the bracha and then do the mitzvah. But if somebody else is reciting the bracha and I'm doing the mitzvah, so then that rule doesn't apply. Why doesn't that rule apply? What's pshat in this Rabbi Natan? So there is a Ravid in Hilchos Ishus that suggests that perhaps the reason for this klal is as follows. It's too risky. If I'm in charge, I'm in the driver's seat, I'm calling the shots, so I can recite the bracha, and then I know I'm going to do the mitzvah. But if I'm not the one who's doing the mitzvah, so how am I going to make the bracha? I'm going to make the bracha, and then the other guy is going to back out and decide not to go through the mitzvah. And it just turned out that I just made a bracha batala. So it's a pure technical reason, says the Ravid, that whenever you are not the one who's doing both, you have to do the mitzvah first and then wait for the bracha afterwards. And says Rebbeinu Tam, I'm going to prove to you that that's the case. Let me prove to you, says Rebbeinu Tam, that whenever Reuven's doing the bracha and Shimon's doing the mitzvah, the order is always out of order because of that concern. Says Rebbeinu Tam, V'teida shrei birchas erisin enim v'varcha l'acha erisin. Says Rebbeinu Tam, everybody knows that the bracha that's recited under the chuppah of Asher Kiddishon mitzvahis and tzvara l'arayis, what's called birchas erisin. So says Rebbeinu Tam, everyone knows, first the ring is given, and then the bracha is recited. So I'm probably seeing a lot of puzzled faces. That wasn't at the last wedding I was at. Check your videos of your own chasda. Probably was not that way. So you're right, because our minig is to follow the Rambam. Another Rishonim say we recite the bracha first, but the Rebbeinu Tam and the Ravid says no. The bracha is said after the kedushin, and you know why it's said after the kedushin. The Ravid says very simple, because the mitzvah is depending upon the kal agreeing. Imagine the following: the guy's going to get up and make a bracha, shir kedushanu mitzvayis avitzivanu da 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 da, and then she's not going to agree to the wedding. She's going to say, I back out, cold feet. Or, the way our practice is, the Masada Kedusha is going to make the bracha. Masada Kedusha is going to make the bracha, and then the chassid is going to get cold feet. So we can't risk reciting a bracha when I'm not in control of that ma'aseh mitzvah. So bottom line, when all the dust settles according to Rebbeinu Tam, what is l'hachniso? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not a birchas mitzvah. Therefore, grammar doesn't bother me. What is it? It's a birchas ha-shevach. Therefore, it should still have been over l'siyason, if not for the quirk that Acher Rois is a bracha. So the bottom line is we have two very, very different approaches in the Gedolim and Rishonim. What is Lachniso? With the Nafka Minah L'dinah, when is Lachniso? If you go down the root of the Rashbam, Lachniso has to precede the bris. If you go down the root of Rebbeinu Tam, then Lachniso can follow the bris. How do we paskin halacha? I mean, it depends what you mean by we, but what's a possible practice that we should do? So comes the Rosh, in the fourth of the Baruch Kaimas, in Masechah Shabbos, Perek Yutesim in Yud, and says, I have a compromise you. The Rosh was a Talmud Muvuk of the Maharami Ruthenberg. Maharami Ruthenberg had a practice in Pesach Halacha. He always tried to make everybody happy. Whenever he could, he tried to be Yotze Kolashitas. That was his Mahalach in many, many Shilas. So here also, the Rosh writes, V'od Shamati, I heard the following practice. Kisha Avi Abed Mevorach Miyad Acha Birchas Amoyel, says the Rosh, if you time it properly, you can actually be yotze both shitas. It's kind of hard to imagine that. How can you make the bracha both before the milah and after the milah? Sounds like an internal contradiction. Says the Rosh, no, you can. Because we have a rule. There are actually two different parts of the mitzvah bris milah. There is the removing of the orla, the removing of the outer skin, the foreskin, and then after that is removed, then there's another half, that's the uncovering of the lower skin, the lower membrane, called the or hapriya. The Mishnah tells us in Masechah Shabbos, malvul aparki lomal. If you do one without the other, you're not yotzei the milah. Milah requires both of those skins, both that whole area has to be removed. Says the Rosh, but it can be done in two steps. So here's the plan, says the Rosh. Have the Moel recite the bracha, Shia Kirishan, Sotar, Alamila, and start the cup. But no, don't finish. Let him just simply remove the Ora Orla. And then, a second later, right before the Priya is done, let the father jump in and say, Lachnisa Vishlam Avinu, everything's great, wonderful. Why? It was before and it was after. It was before the Mila was finished, but it was after the Mila was started. That's the Rosh's pshar. That's his compromise to make everybody happy. Now, there are a few problems, some technical and some halachic issues with the Rosh's suggestion of a compromise. This is all assuming that the meal is being done in two stages. So there were Moalim, maybe there still are Moalim, who actually do bris milas that way, but many, many Moalim have a different practice entirely, that they literally remove both skins at one shot, with one cut. If you're cutting off both, if you're removing the whole thing in one shot, so then this Rosh's Eitz obviously is not going to work. So probably most of the bris at least the Ashkenazi bris that you've been at, what they do is, it's almost like a new version of the Rosh. It's like a newfangled version of the Rosh. According to the Rosh, it really only makes sense if you mamish chap the bracha lachnisa right smack between the milah and the priya. But we can't do that. Most of our moyel don't even do the bris that way anymore. So what do? So we do as follows. The moyel recites the bracha ala milah, and he starts to cut. And a split second, as fast as possible, the father shoots in and jumps in, and he says, Lachniso. Are you getting what the Rosh described? Not really. You're getting a quasi make-believe, a little bit of an equivalent of what the Rosh is describing. Yeah. So it's not purely what the Rosh wanted. It's not the pure halachic solution of timing it perfectly between the two stages. It's as close as possible. So that's what that minig usually is today. That you'll hear that the mayor makes the alamila, and then a split second later, the father jumps in and makes the lachnizo. I was once at a bris where the person was supposed to make the bracha shekidesh, which is the bracha after the bar priagofen, so he got a little bit confused, and he thought he's also supposed to jump in. So the mayor said alamila, then the father screamed out lachnizo, and the third guy screamed out bar priagofen. It was a small problem. The wine wasn't even poured yet. It was still in the bottle. So that's, again, very, very complicated. I always say, I guess even the guys on Zoom could see this one, so I always say whenever I heard that story, I can only think of one thing. It's called like illegal movement in the backfield. It means offsides, I might say. You got to wait till the call, till the ball snap before you jump into the game. Anyway, back to the story. But the Rosh's idea was a great idea, assuming that you have the two steps. But wait a second. Is it really such a great idea? There's something l'chora fundamentally problematic with the Rosh's solution. And that's based on the fifth of the Rambam Kamos, and very, very much relevant to this week's parasha. Kabbalat Yevamos tells us, Amarav by Yitzchak Amarav, lo nitna priyas mila l'avmavinu. That second stage of mila that I just mentioned, there's the orla, the removing of the outer skin, and then there's the uncovering or removal of the lower skin. That part of the mitzvah priya was not given to Avmavinu. If you look carefully in Chumash, in last week's parasha, Lech Lecha, it doesn't say anything about the word priya. It just says orla. It says, Ashel Yimos or Lasso five times. Doesn't say a word about the Priya. So comes Rabbi Yitzchak, says the name of Rav. Abimid was never given that mitzvah. So where did it come from? So where did that start? The notion of Priya? So Gemara quotes a very, very strange solution. Emar. But Esahi Amar Shemel Yeshua Sel Chachavis. The Psukim in the beginning of Yeshua describe a second meal that was done in the days of Yeshua. So the Gemara explains that second milah, in addition to the people who had not been mauled altogether in the desert, even those who had milahs, had to now finish the job by doing priya, because priya wasn't part of the original sugya, the original story of bris milah. But wait a second. So Yeshua got the mitzvah? It means the Torah was given, Moshe Rabbeinu died, they're in Eretz Yisrael, and Yeshua is giving the 614th mitzvah called priya? That's a no-no. The Gemara says, Eila mitzvahs, only Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah. There is no mitzvah given to Nevi'im. So we're not sure what it is. Well, the Gemara says clearly that Mavlo Parki Lo Mal. The Gemara says it's a Din Minat Torah. How can it be Din Minat Torah if it's given to Yeshua? So Tosfos on the spot says, obviously the Gemara must have in mind what it says in many, many other places. Sometimes the Gemara will ask, what's the source of the following Din? And of course, a Poskin Navi. So the Gemara says, who are you kidding? And until the Navi came, what was the Din? So the Gemara says, nah, come on. The Navi's not the Makor. Hilchos HaYibiyas Pchei Akra. The Makor is Halacha Moshe Mesinai. It was part of that tradition. It's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Navi Yoshua is writing a story and referencing a din that already existed that was given to us as Halacha Moshe Sinai. So Tachlis, when did the din of Priya enter into Klal Yisrael? Halacha Moshe Sinai, when the days of Avinu didn't exist. That the Gemara says, lo nitin a Priya Avinu. So the Mila changed from Avinu's Mila to today's Mila. It's a different Mila. I mean, not totally changed. If the original Mila is still there, the Asaras Orla is still there, but that added dimension, the added component of Ora Priya, that was added afterwards in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right.
But if he doesn't have Priya. Well, right. I have to get to what the kash is. Hold on one second. So great. So we have the historical, quote unquote, development. The Mila, Priya was given later. Now it's the kash and the rush. The rush is trying to come up with this fancy footwork to try to explain Lachnisa b'Vrisa Shlam Avinu and still have it in time before that Knisa Lebris takes place. So, but wait a second, Lachnisa b'Vrisa Shlam Avinu, you should say Lachnisa b'Vrisa Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not Avinu, Avinu's long gone. Avinu's bris is long over. As soon as that oil is gone, the game's over. So the rush, by trying to walk this tightrope and not fall off the cliff, he's trying to get Lachnisa b'Vrisa Shlam Avinu right smack in time. Wait a second, it's not a time, it's the wrong nusach. What's Falachnis Vishlam Avinu? So the answer to the Rosh is as follows. This kasha is presented by the Michas Chinuch. This Tzorach Yom Gol of the Rosh. The answer is based on a tshuva the Chassam Sofer that Henry is really referring to and alluding to. Chassam Sofer has the following Lom Dishashayla. The starting off mitzvah with Gimdab Rabinu was Hasarasa Orla. To remove the Orla. A couple hundred years later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not enough for now. Now you have to add a little bit to it. It has another dimension to it. You have to add the component of Priya. Yesh Lachba. One can raise the following Lamed Shechakira. what's the nature of the relationship between removing the orla and the newfangled part of Priya? Do I say, Parshas Lech Lecha, and the Bris Amravinu, and the orla, orla's orla, and that's it. In addition to removing the orla, there's a new mitzvah, so to speak. There's part two, there's a mitzvah of Priya. What do I say? And that's not the pshat. The Torah has redefined what Hasaras Orla means. A Maisa Bris Mila back in the days of Amravinu meant X, and the days of Moshe Rabbeinu onward means X plus. If a person doesn't do the Priya, he didn't do Parshas Lech Lecha. Because Parshas Lech Lecha's meaning has changed. Says Chassam Sofer, bring a Raya Brura. Says, Yechayv Karis for not doing Priya? Absolutely. The Gemara says Beferish. Where does it say Karis? In Parshas Lech Lecha. Torah says, if the first side in the Chakir is right, that the mitzvah of Hasaras Orla was done, and all I haven't done yet is Priya, that's very nice, but that's not going to make me Chayv Karis. So says the Chassam Sofer is a Raya Brura from the existence of Karis. Marvel apart, Kilo Mal, means your Mamash Chayv Karis, you're an Oral Gomor. Once the Torah redefines what the mitzvah mila is, the lack thereof constitutes an absolute bona fide oral. Therefore, the Chassam Sofer says, what would the din be? Let's say a Moyal did a bris, did a terrible job. He did the mila, he forgot to do the Priya. He's still in pre-Matan Torah days. He's not Ravino Moyal. So he thinks all you have to do is the Hasaras Orla, and then the next week somebody realizes, Gevalt, we got to do the Priya. What bracha do you make? Asher kirishan mitzvah sa mitzvah al-hawa. Al-ha-priya? We never heard of that bracha. Al-ha-mila? I did the mila already. The answer is no, you didn't. Marvel apart, kirilamal. The orla is still there. What do you mean? Biologically, it's not there. Halachically, it's still there. When the ora priya is there, the ora orla has not been removed. According to Chassam Sofer, I understand the bracha makes perfect sense. Asher kirishan mitzvah sa mitzvah al-hawa. What's the bris of Amravinu? The bris of Amravinu is to do mila. How do you define mila? Depends which generation you live in. If you live in the days of Amravinu, it had a very, very limited definition. Post Moshe Rabbeinu onwards, post Lach Sinai in Tidek and Tavshin Pei Beis, it means the additional component of Asaras of the Priya. If Priya isn't done, you are not nichlis to the Bris of Amravinu. Haraya, you have cars. The Oral Zocha Shalim of Sar Loss, and of course, you warrant nichlis as Brisi Hefar. The Pasuk is Brisi Hefar set on you. What do you mean as Brisi Hefar? The Bris was made with Amravinu. That's right. Once the Torah redefines what the definition of an oral, what the definition of meal is, al zeh nemar is brisi hefar, and therefore we could say with a straight face, says the Rosh, lachnisa veisesh amavino, al shame the priya that's about to take place. So the bottom line is, how does this relate back to our entire picture that we're learning, the sugyas of Maseches Kedushin? Everybody agrees there's a mitzvah of mila that will tell us on the father. Everyone agrees if the father doesn't do it, someone else has got to step up to the plate. Does that dual component, those two dual components of bris mila, is that what's going on in the sugya of the bracha of lachniso? According to the Rambam, absolutely yes. And therefore, according to the Rambam, if there's no father, then there is no bracha of lachniso. And according to the other Rishonim, it's not true. Lachniso stands on its own 2 feet. Based on what? As Rabbi Natam says, it's not really a birchas mitzvah. It's more of a birchas shevach. That machlokes, whether it's a birchas mitzvah, birchas shevach, will now impact not only what the bracha is, not only can it be said by an outsider besides the father, it will impact when the bracha is going to be said. If you really believe it's a plain, simple birchas mitzvah, then the Rashbam's diktuk is correct. It must precede the mila, and if you have to flip the order and do like the Sfaradim do. If you hold like Rabbi Natam that it's a birchas shevach, there's no need to flip the order. It's inappropriate to flip the order. Do the bris, and then afterwards say lachniso. It's called mitzvah mevarech. That's a technical kasher Rabbi Natam himself. The Rosh came up with this potential compromise. We had some serious problems with the compromise. It's a problem technically the way our brisim are done today in one shot, but it's a halachic problem because how in the world is the priya lachnis l'vishalam avinu? So based on the Chassam Sofer's rayas, the answer is it is that the brichas lachnis l'vishalam avinu very, very much is a reflection of what the definition of mila is bezman hazeh, not what it was in the olden days. Okay.
When the mol is the father, he does them both before the actual meal?
So, yeah, then he would probably make, he would say ala mila, and as he's beginning to cut, the same idea, he would probably scream out lach niso at that point. Okay.
I'm guessing kind of what was right, so the pasuk that is quoting is from this parsha.
Right, so Parshas Lech Lecha says that v'orol zochar shalimo b'sar alos was chayv karis.
Right.
But the Gemara says, if you were marvel or par, you chayv karis.
Right.
So how did Chazal know that?
Recording stopped.
So Chazal must have known that. They must have understood that the halacha Moshe Messina Priya is not an additional mitzvah. It's not like the orally you did, you Yaitse Am Ravinu's story, and now you have a new mitzvah called the halacha Moshe Messina of Priya. If that would be the case, then there would be no courage for it. from the fact that Chazal understood this Gemara, it's a raya that this is part of the original mitzvah.
But the Gemara is talking about both Mila and Tefillah, or just talking about just the word Mila?
No, the Gemara says that Mal v'lo para, kilu lo mal. If you didn't do Priya, it's, you're wasting your time. You're an oral Gemara. Right, that's so the Gabi Karis, the Gemara says it also. The Gemara says if you cut off the Ora Orla and you have not yet done Priya, the Gemara says you have Karis. Yeah, the Gemara, the 19th Pekosh Shabbos. Yeah.